reason we show more spiritual and musical growth from the first CD is that when Victory was done in 1998 and was released in 1999, there were a almost three-year period before God and I came about. And that when Victory was released, the church never really prepared for that kind of music. You know, I used to get a lot of rejection from the church concerning reggae music and stuff like that. So I never really got fully hardcore in doing these songs. I give Victory more of some more laid-back song, more kind of one-drop reggae beat type of song. You know, and for God and I know, we spend more time doing God and I because we have so much time period to play with. You know, so we get professional producers and more arrangements and stuff like that, and back vocals and stuff, and put together songs and erase some, and, you know, and refresh back some other songs, you know, down the line. For spiritual growth for me, yeah, because by then I am no more mature, you know, knowing about God, God's character, His statutes, His ways, you know, and more deeper in the word and more firm and rooted. So it is another notch or another step to the staircase, I would say.
Your name is Thompson. How'd you come to get that name, Papa San?
The name Papa San came about, you know, from I was a child. You know, and reason B is because my brother, they call him Dirt.
Dirt?
You know, like, you know, dirt that they walk on.
Okay.
And there's a friend of mine that decided that if he's Dirt, then the other brother must be Son. And it never leave from that. You know, everybody just take up the name and they began to call me Papa Son. And they put the Papa to the Son because in those days when you're an artist or you consider yourself as a DJ, you have to put some other title, you know, to the name that you have. Some people call themselves like General Trees, you know, being a man, describing the person, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, that's how the name Papa San really come about.
What were the circumstances to lead you to committing your life to Christ?
Yeah, the circumstances that led me to commit myself to Christ is that after achieving all these things over the years, things that I've dreamt about as a child, you know, having all these hit songs and traveling the world and making money and fame and all that, still never have any peace or any satisfaction or tranquility in my life. My life was a total mess. I was just in a spike, you know, and it was very terrible at the time. I was confused and depressed, you know, and exhausted. And I remember we just left Africa from a tour, and we when I came back to Jamaica, my life, I was so unhappy, I couldn't even explain it. And I began to read my Bible, you know, to seek God. And even while seeking God, I was still looking in the wrong direction because I was more looking to Rasta, you know, thinking that Selassie is God because my father was an old Rasta man and most of my friends were Rasta. And you know, looking in that direction, I realized that is a big error right there, and it's a deception, you know, because when I study about Selassie is just a normal man who serve and worship Jesus Christ. And I used to have a problem with that, you know, because the Rastaman look up on him as God, you know what I mean? And I began to search further, you know, and really seeking God with my whole heart. And it was a scripture that I was reading one morning, and it really ministered to my heart. And I said to my wife, hey, I need to have a talk with a pastor to really hear the next side of the story, because most of my life I've been hearing about Rastafarian and stuff like that. And we spoke with a pastor, and he began to tell me about Christ. And I knew that there and then I could not reject Jesus, you know, and we received Jesus, both of us, one time in our hearts, and ask Him to forgive us of our sins. And my life is just a total turnaround from that, you know. It's a miraculous change, you know, and that's what, you know, bring me into Christ. It's just the power of the Holy Spirit.
Tell us about how it was working with Kirk Franklin. You did He Reign, Percy Baby, Hold Up the Light, Jackie McCullough.
Yeah, the collaboration that I've done with gospel-centric artists is a tremendous experience, you know. Even working with Kirk Franklin, you know, I mean, is something to really cherish in a sense, because Kirk is a very talented person. person. And there's so much more left in him to, for the world to see and to know about Kirk. And I mean, we work a couple of times in Jamaica, and it's a awesome experience when both of us on the same stage together. And I think the friendship developed from there, you know, and we decided that we want to work on both albums, you know, and I do stuff on Awesome God, and he also put together Breathe Again, and it's just something that I will never forget, you know, it's a tremendous blessing. You know, for Percy Brady and Reverend Jackie McCullough, it's also an awesome experience too. Jackie and I are very, very close friends. You know, when I just got saved, she used to be there for me and my wife, minister to us, and, you know, we talk on the phone a lot. When she comes to Jamaica, to my church, you know, we always been there with her and been around her, learned so much from her. So it was an awesome experience working with Jackie. And for Percy, I mean, it's such a tremendous blessing. You know, Percy's a veteran, even putting songs together and writing songs for people. I mean, to collaborate with Percy is an awesome experience also. And I take it as a blessing, and I will never forget that. Bless.
You mentioned Breathe Again. Tell us about Kirk Franklin and Breathe Again.
Kirk and I came together because we believe that when two cultures meet, praising God, great things can happen. We have been doing this for a period of time in Jamaica, and we have been getting tremendous response from people when we work together. And when we're putting the song Breathe Again together, we were both in separate places. And then Kirk wrote the Breathe Again section of it, send the track down to Jamaica. I put my stuff to it, put them all together, and it's just like history right there. You know, so, you know, it's an awesome experience. It's an awesome experience when two different styles meet, you know, and become one. You know, it's a blessing. And people can relate to it from all over the world. It's something really that I really feel blessed and good within.
Our guest is Papa Son. You talked about different styles. Tell us about the pop.
Yeah, white pop style really sounds like a traditional Papa Son reggae rap. It is because the rhythm that we choose to use is an hardcore rhythm that can relate to the secular people more. That kind of dancehall following we're trying to get to win them over to Jesus, you know. So it's an hardcore song that telling you about Christ. And as for being a worship song, I wouldn't say it is a worship song. I would say it's more of a praise kind of song, you know, that's showing that people can have fun in Jesus Christ and still giving you a message that can relate to society and to uplift them and to turn them to Christ.
The step on the enemy. Do I hear Sean Paul?
Why some people might feel that step on the enemy is a Sean Paul kind of thing, it is because they don't really know much about dancehall. We have been doing this years before Sean Paul. You know, dancehall music is a part of our culture. Many, many more artists in Jamaica are doing the very same thing. For me, the message is different. I'm just singing the gospel of Jesus Christ and using the dancehall as a vehicle to carry it. You know, so we have been doing this for years. Yes.
You speak of dancehall. Tell us about that.
The reason why I know of more chorus than the other rest of songs on the album, it is because I want to put my point across clearly. If you listen to the lyrics, you know, and I remember in the earlier times doing dancehall music, you know, for the first time in the church, people rejected it and put it down. They don't want to have anything to do with that kind of rhythm, you know. So I was trying to show them that, listen, I used to sing in the world one time, and I have no plan going back there to sing. I have to sing now for Jesus, you know, and I'm just using now the music as a vehicle to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I more emphasize on the chorus to bring the point across, you know, to let people understand and know that this is the road that Lord lead me to take, and that's exactly what I'm going to do.